This is Express FM.
Supported by the University of Portsmouth.
We are passionately pumping.
New beginnings, look forward, work together to create a Portsmouth Football Club that we can all be proud to be associated with.
Pure, unadulterated pumping.
It's a massive club, it's a massive opportunity for me. I know this atmosphere is special. I can't wait to see a full house and it rocking.
Action and reaction.
This is Hughes Football Club. We're here to be hopefully successful. The infrastructure's changing, so really we want to start pushing forward and making Portsmouth a real force.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
It's a club with a rich tradition, a rich heritage, but one that has an excellent relationship with its supporters.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Everyone's favourite competition, the EFL Trophy, is back.
Lowe brings it down. Lowe could be in. Jamal Lowe over the goalkeeper. Into the back of the net. Jamal Lowe. Curtis across the face of goal. Marquez. Marquez. He's won it. Minoga, will he shoot with his left foot? He will and he'll score. Minoga's first senior goal.
Tomorrow evening, the Blues embark on yet another trophy campaign and we could see deadline day styling Marlon Romeo make his debut. He's been speaking about his attributes and what he can bring to the table.
Without boasting, I like to be attacking. I like to be on the front foot. I like to get at other fullbacks. I like to defend, start counters.
We'll be previewing Pompey's trip to Plough Lane on tonight's show, as well as discussing Danny Cowley's September schedule and looking further afield to Saturday's league return. In the space of 5 days, the Blues go from visiting the real dons to the fake ones. First up is the midweek clash with AFC Wimbledon. So stick around to 93.7 Express FM tonight for a full preview of tomorrow's group stage opener. A very good evening and welcome to another instalment of the Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome once again to the Football Hour here on Express FM, your home of passionate Pompey debate twice a week, every week. And I'm pleased to say that this week marks the return of our traditional Monday and Friday time slots after a few weeks thrown in the air with deadline day and a few other things getting in the way too. As always tonight, Pompey fans, we are eager to hear the thoughts of you back home as well. Who's in line to start for the Blues at Wimbledon tomorrow night? Would an early trophy exit benefit Pompey, or would you prefer to see Danny Cowley go all the way and secure not only his but also Portsmouth's second title in this competition? All the usual ways to get involved: either text Express followed by your name and message to 81400, email Pompey at expressfm.com, include at expressfm on Twitter, or head to facebook.com/ Pompey Live. Before we go any further with tonight's show, let's take you all the way back to the 8th of September 2020 as Pompey began last season's EFL Trophy journey at home to Colchester United. Here's how the Blues 2020-2021 trophy run played out right here on Express FM.
Here we go then, Pompey going from left to right, usual direction in this first half. Curtis is in a good attacking position and Curtis having a go at his man and getting across into the penalty area, and Harness with a chance, loose ball in the box and it falls for the goalkeeper, and Shamal George gratefully picks it up after four players went for the ball. No one could quite get it and it was sat there kindly for the goalkeeper to pick up. Best chance of the game, 0-0. Here's Ronan Curtis trying to find Harness, edge of the area, chance for Marcus Harness, shot, goal! Good strike from Marcus Harness, crisp attacking play from Portsmouth from the edge of the box. He drives it low past the goalkeeper. It's Portsmouth 1, Colchester United 0. Oh, Harness is onside into the box. Harness chance for a second. Harness finishes, beating the goalkeeper. Colchester claiming the offside flag. Should have gone off. It didn't. And Marcus Harness finishes emphatically to get his second inside 2 minutes. The assist from Jack Watmore. Good ball forward from him. It's Portsmouth 2, Colchester 0. Oh, terrible back pass. Ellis Harrison surely been gifted a goal. Can he find it into the net? Cannon, it's blocked. Now will Evans over the bar? Colchester doing their best to gift Portsmouth a goal and Pompey unable to take the offer. And that is the final action of Portsmouth's first game of the season here at Fratton Park. And it's finished probably in the kind of style you might have predicted before the game. Portsmouth have comfortably beaten Colchester United by 2-0. There have been many days already this season when you just long for a crowd to be allowed inside a stadium to witness what was going to unfold. Perhaps tonight's spectacle, not necessarily one that automatically falls in that category, but tonight, a good opportunity for some of Portsmouth's fringe players to make a point at one of the EFL's crisis clubs, both on and off the pitch. Marquis tries a crossfield ball looking for Minoga. Minoga in the penalty area goes down. That must be a penalty kick. And it is. Minoga wins a penalty. He got between ball and man. He was clearly tripped. And Portsmouth have the opportunity to take the lead here in the 20th minute. Marquis steps up with his right foot and scores, rolling it into the bottom corner. And Portsmouth take the lead here at Southend. It's John Marquis putting the ball into the back of the net for his second of the season. Southend 0, Portsmouth 1. And Curtis now driving forward. Curtis middle of the pitch. Curtis shoots from distance, deflects it into the net. Wicked deflection off Richard Taylor gave the goalkeeper absolutely no chance from 25 yards out. And 5 minutes to the interval, it is Southend 0, Portsmouth 2. Curtis to drive forward. He's got Marquis to his left. Curtis, 25 yards out, shoots from distance, finds the bottom corner. Second goal of the game for Ronan Curtis. Final whistle goes here at Roots Hall. Portsmouth have beaten Southend United by 3-0. They are through to the knockout stages of the EFL Trophy. Well, the debate amongst Portsmouth fans continues about the merits of cup runs in a season when League One promotion is very much the priority. But tonight it's a second string side put out by Kenny Jackett in the EFL Trophy, and a very young one at that. Pompey already secured themselves a place in the knockout rounds of this year's competition. Tonight's match with West Ham's Academy is a battle for home advantage in round two. Longello is trying to go round the outside of his man, and he's got to the byline. He's got a cross in the box, and a shot on target is into the back of the net, and it's West Ham under 21s who take the lead in just the fourth minute. Cut back from the left byline. It was so easy for the cross to come in, and I think it's Kai Corbett who has guided the ball into the back of the net. It's Portsmouth 0, West Ham under 21s 1. It's still loose, and West Ham still can't get it away. Back into the box. Bolton shot over the bar. What a chance. James Bolton on his left foot. Corbett driving towards the penalty area. Only Bolton to beat. Shot on goal. It's a crossbar. And the ricochet is going to go behind for a goal kick. What an effort. The full-time whistle goes here at Fratton Park. Portsmouth have lost a match in this competition for the first time in more than 1,000 days. Portsmouth have still made it through the group stages and still have the chance to progress this evening away here in Cheltenham against the League Two high flyer, who have made numerous changes this evening, but not quite as many as Portsmouth, who have made all 11 changes as they look to try and make round three for the third consecutive year. 30 yards out on the right, early cross into the box, a lovely cross, and Downing's header almost goes into his own net. It's over his own bar, behind for a corner, 0-0. Here it comes, delivery, this time deep towards the far post, headed back across goal by Reid. Keep it in, shot on goal over the bar. And Cheltenham, in the opening 2 minutes, have threatened Portsmouth's goal twice. Minoga with a touch in the box. Minoga, will he shoot with his left foot? He will, and he'll score. Minoga's first senior goal, lashing it in with his left foot into the far corner. It's Cheltenham Town 0, Portsmouth 1. Pring has it, left wing, just outside the penalty area, waiting for Hawula to make a run, looking for Stanley at the far post, nods it down. Hawula scores, 2-0 Portsmouth. Great link-up play between Stanley and Hawula. He couldn't miss. 28 on the clock. It's Cheltenham 0, Portsmouth 2. Morris spreads it down the right. Hawula's in the area here. Jordy Hawula, shot across goal into the net. Straight through the goalkeeper, Flinders. And Hawula has his second of the night. So easy for Portsmouth. Cheltenham might have changed formation, changed personnel. They haven't changed the direction of this game. The game comes to an end here at Wadden Road. And Portsmouth have beaten Cheltenham Town by 3-0. And they are through to the third round of the Papa John's Trophy. Well, Pompey back in action just over 48 hours since they last were, losing in the FA Cup to Bristol City on Sunday, albeit a pretty impressive performance against the Championship side. And the ball comes in towards the near post, and Peterborough again win the first header, but it goes straight up in the air from Beavers. Loose and helped goalwards and put wide by Harrison. Not an easy chance, but a chance. Ward trying to take on Rue and playing a 1-2 to get round him, and he's done that, and he pulls it back in the area. Touch in there from Stuart White. Shot comes in, and Peterborough score. Pompey couldn't get their lines clear, and Jack Taylor has his sixth of the season. It's a sloppy goal for Portsmouth to concede. It's Peterborough 1, Portsmouth 0. Clark Harris is there. Dembele could be a dark horse. Clark Harris left foot strikes it into the net. Lovely free kick. Nothing Turnbull can do about that one. And Peterborough have doubled their lead. It's Peterborough 2, Portsmouth 0. Peterborough already got one goal from a set piece. This one whipped in towards the near post. Helped on loose, and it's found its way into the back of the net. And Peterborough have made it 3 on the stroke of half time. It certainly wasn't the most elegant goal, but it's found its way just trickling over the line into the back of the net. It's Peterborough come forward in the space down the left-hand side, and Butler's going to get there and a bolted in the area and ball across the face of goal and a great chance for a fourth. And they've got it. It's tapped into the net by Sariki Dembele. Just let the ball hit his right foot and cushioned it past Duncan Turnbull. Peterborough have a fourth early in the second half. Peterborough 4, Pompey 0. Pretty much a perfect position for a left-footed player to strike this. Peterborough lead by 4-0 and we have 4 minutes remaining. And it will be struck left-footed low into the corner underneath the wall that jumped over the ball. And Peterborough have themselves a fifth goal. Ethan Hamilton has his first goal for Peterborough. That is not one Portsmouth will be desperate to see again. Shot from Harrison and a goal. And Portsmouth have pulled back a consolation. The most muted of celebrations you'll ever see from Ellis Harrison. It's a wonderful curling shot past him into the top corner. But it's all for nothing in the 92nd minute. It's Peterborough 5, Portsmouth 1. As the final whistle goes at London Road and Portsmouth are out of the EFL Trophy.
So that was how Pompey's EFL Trophy run played out last season, dropping out at the round of 16 via a hefty defeat away to Peterborough. This weekend, there were three League One fixtures being played out, with a fourth taking place at the University of Bolton Stadium later this evening. Bolton playing host to Burton at 8 o'clock. On Saturday, Accrington beat Shrewsbury by 1-0. Tomorrow's opponents beat Oxford for their first ever win in front of a packed out Plough Lane. 3-1 the scoreline there, while MK Dons were held to a 1-1 draw away to newly promoted Cheltenham. Those results mean that Pompey remain fifth in League One, though neither Sunderland, Sheffield Wednesday, Wigan or Rotherham were in action. Joining me tonight to preview Pompey's EFL Trophy opener, first and foremost over the powers of the internet, Tom Malley. Tom, it is great to hear from you again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me back on, Jake. It's always a pleasure, mate.
And for the first time since the 13th of March 2020, I have a guest in the studio with me here at Express HQ. 89 shows have come and gone within that time, but I'm delighted to say that sat right across from me this evening is none other than Dean Adams. Dean, fantastic to not only hear you, but to see you as well.
Is it really good to see me, my face?
I'm not too sure. I might have to revert back on
that. It's a massive privilege to be here, though. The first one in, 89 shows, as you say. So amazing.
It has been a very, very long time, Dean. And for those wondering, we will get a second guest in the studio as soon as we can. But a few other issues barring that. And so let's come to you first of all, Tom. Tomorrow, Pompey's EFL Trophy opener away to AFC Wimbledon. We've waited a long time for the trophy to be back, and here it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think besides the fact that we won it a couple of seasons ago, I don't think anyone's still that keen or fond of the competition. But, you know, the one benefit I've always seen it as is a good excuse to give the fringe players some minutes, and you know, even first teamers who might need it as well. So, you know, I'm all for it in that sense. Like I said, with many others, I hope we don't prioritise it, and I don't think Danny Cowley will. So I'll just look forward to you know, seeing a few fringe players get a few minutes that they need, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, definitely. And within, you know, the last time Pompey played Dean, that game away to Wigan on August the 28th, some time to sit back and reflect and really start again for Pompey. Time to rest up, hit the training ground and really work on what needs to improve. A trophy match tomorrow evening, is this a perfect opportunity for you, for Pompey to really, really start again and really refresh and work on the areas?
Yeah, I think tomorrow's a game that personally I'm not too fussed about. Obviously, Danny's going to play 6 or 7 academy players in the squad tomorrow. But I think when you look at the start of the season we've had, it's been a good start. It's been a solid start. I think we're lacking. We all know we're lacking going forward. That needs to be addressed. But tomorrow's a good chance to sort of throw in a few of these youngsters. And to be honest, we need to focus on the rest of the month. As we said earlier, we've got 3 tough away games coming up. I think we've got Burton, Cheltenham, and who was the other one? Burton, Cheltenham, and MK Dons away, and we've got Cambridge and Plymouth as home games we should win. So it's a tough month and we need to focus on that.
Yeah, and looking ahead to tomorrow's game, obviously we'll come into the expected starting lineup a little bit later on, Tom, and we'll talk about who we predict to be in Pompey's 11 tomorrow evening. There could be wholesale changes dependent on whether Danny Cowley wants to go strong or maybe integrate some youth players into the action. But what are you expecting from the game? Is this just an opportunity for Pompey to really go out there, a three hit, and like, you know, like Dean said, work on the errors of Wigan.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, you know, like Dean said as well, you know, Danny Cowell, I think he said he's going to make six or seven changes. I think it really depends on the lineup. If he's going to bring a lot of youngsters into it, then I don't know how much you can sort of work on in the squad if you've got, you know, youngsters playing that haven't played a minute all season. But then again, if he's going to use fringe players and even a few first teams, then yeah, absolutely. Correct some wrongs that we've already made, work on some things that we need to, because, you know, the game at the weekend is a big one, because we can't go three games without a win in the league. So, I mean, yeah, like I said, depends on the lineup, but absolutely looking to correct some wrongs at least.
Yeah. And looking at the EFL Trophy, Dean, you know, we mentioned in the intro how it's everyone's favourite competition. We all love the EFL Trophy, don't we? We love it.
You do, I don't.
I don't particularly love it, but I did enjoy that 2019 final. We all did.
Yeah, that's it's good to win that one, but I think we've had our time with that, haven't we?
Yeah. But in terms of this season, Dean, you know, we speak about last season and the season before about Pompey's priority, which is to gain League One promotion. This season in particular, Danny and Nicky Cowley's first season in charge, we've been there, we've done it, we've won the trophy, we've had our cup runs. Is this really the year you want Pompey to exit at the group stage? You don't want us to lose games, of course you don't, but...
No, I think it's a tough group. I think we just put the best team out that Danny feels we can. He's obviously going to mix it up a little bit tomorrow, but it's not the top of his mind, is it, to win this? He'd be thinking of MK Dons away on Saturday, which is, to be honest, it's a must win. We need to win these games, and it is winnable, and we need to focus. He probably has been focusing on his sort of the last third play on the pitch, and we need to improve in those areas massively.
Yeah. Mark on the text, with League One being the toughest League One ever, hopefully Danny Cowley will sack off this pointless trophy. A text in from Mark there. And Tom, is it hard to disagree with that? You know, like I asked Dean there, with Pompey's priority this season being the league, you want us to win as many games as possible, of course you do, but is tomorrow really a chance to bring in more youngsters than usual and just go out there, let them have their match? If they win, they win, that's fantastic, but it really is nothing that anyone is concerned about whatsoever.
100%. And like you said, you know, we've won it, we've been there, we've done it, and, you know, even got to two finals in a row. You know, so we've had 2 years enjoying it. Now it's time to really just, you know, get rid of it, but, you know, let's not prioritise it anymore. We've had enough of that with Kenny Jackett. Danny Cowley knows the job at hand. We need to get out of this division, at least make a good attempt at it this season. You know, we're already out of the Carabao Cup, fine. Let's get out of this as soon as we can, in my opinion. If we want a cup run, yeah, maybe go for an FA Cup run if we can. But league has got to be full priority.
In conclusion, Dean, we could probably wrap up the show there because it's quite clear no one cares. No one cares about this trophy, especially not this season. We could probably end right here.
No, I won't be listening to it or anything like that. I won't be going, but I'll look at the pages later on in the evening to see what the scores, and that'll be about it tomorrow night. I'll be watching Emmerdale or something.
Right then, after the break, we'll hear the thoughts of new signing Marlon Romeo. The 25-year-old has been talking about his loan move to Pompey and the competition he is set to have with his new defensive teammates.
Football's a long season, it's a marathon. You're always going to get a chance, whoever you are in the squad, and that's why I think this team's going to have such a good season, because the squad is so good here.
We'll be back with even more Blues discussion and, believe it or not, a preview of tomorrow's match at AFC Wimbledon when the Football Hour returns in just a few moments.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Football Hour on Express FM, where we are previewing a game that no one is really bothered about. Tomorrow's EFL Trophy group stage opener at Wimbledon. We do care, really, and we do want you back home to have your say too. 81400 is the number to text, putting the word Express at the start of your messages. You can email into pompey@expressfm.com, tweet using @ExpressFM, or visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. Pompey secured two important deals on deadline day. 19-year-old right-back Haji Minoga signed a new three-year deal at Fratton Park before being sent out on loan to Bromley in the National League. The Blues then announced the arrival of defender Marlon Romeo on a season-long loan from Millwall. Max Swatton caught up with Danny Cowley's 14th and final summer signing.
Welcome to Pompey, Marlon. First of all, how happy are you to be here?
Yeah, no, I'm really actually happy. It's been a strange year or two personally, but I'm happy that I've got the opportunity at such a big club. So yeah, I'm ready to be back enjoying myself and my football.
You've been at Millwall for 6 years. Do you feel like it's the right time for a change, albeit just a loan move?
Oh yeah, I mean, I've loved every moment I've had at Millwall, at least the majority, and I think it's a good time for me to part ways. I wish obviously all the best for the club. I always have like a place in my heart, especially the manager, the two managers I've had there and all the players there and the staff there. But yeah, I'm really happy just to be going at such a big club, and I think it'll be a big season.
You've made over 200 appearances for Millwall, with most of them being in the Championship. How important do you think it is having the experience at that level to bring down here?
Oh, I mean, I think if you look at the team here, I think a lot have played in the Championship. So, yeah, I'm just gelling in with everyone here.
You're a right back by trade. Just describe how you like to play.
Without boasting, I like to be attacking. I like to be on the front foot. I like to get at other fullbacks. I like to defend, start counters.
You'll be in competition with Kieran Freeman, but do you see it as an opportunity rather than a battle?
Yeah, I mean, football's a long season, it's a marathon always. You're always going to get a chance, whoever you are in the squad. And that's why I think this team's going to have such a good season, because the squad is so good here.
And you played against Pompey in the Carabao Cup back in August. What were your initial thoughts of the team at the time?
I thought it was a normal Championship game, to be honest. The tempo was that high and the first half was really tough. I thought it was going to go right to the end, but we managed to hold on.
New signing Marlon Romeo speaking to Max Swatton from the Pompey media team last week. A deadline day signing for Danny Cowley, then Dean. Marlon Romeo, pretty good acquisition, that.
Yeah, I've seen him play and he's a decent fullback. And when you look at our fullback position on the right, Kieran Freeman and Marlon, that's excellent down there, especially for League One level. So, and he's good going forward. They're both good going forward. So we've got great competition in those places, and that's exciting.
Yeah, and the competition... Tom, the competition on that right-hand side at right centre-back and really Marlon Romeo, a player who can also play at centre-back, as Danny Cowley indicated in his post-match press conference after the defeat at Wigan. Sorry, Marlon Romeo, does he tick all of those boxes for you, or do you believe that Pompey is still light and kind of in the back four region? Do you think you would have expected a few more faces before the deadline day slam shot?
Yeah, no, I thought maybe another centre-back may have come in. But otherwise, no, I'm reasonably happy. I will sort of say I don't think we've got the strongest defence in the league by a mile, absolutely not. But I think it's definitely decent enough and it's talented. I think Romeo's a really good, really good acquisition. As Dean said, you know, I've seen him play as well before and I was quite impressed, especially at the Millwall game as well. So, yeah, no, I'm happy with that, and especially if he can fill in at centre-back if needed.
Yeah, and I was answering some questions from some Milton Keynes fans earlier today, Dean, for a little article they're writing before Saturday's game. And they were asking about Pompey's squad, the transfer window in the summer, and really how strong the squad is. And I think if you look upon reflection, yes, you could have hoped for a few more faces through the door. 14 is a lot, 13 going out as well, a huge squad overhaul. And like Tom said, probably not the best squad on paper in the division, but do you see this as a two-year project from Danny and Nicky Cowley?
Yeah, if I'm totally honest, I don't believe we're going to get promotion this season. I think in the back of their minds, that's probably the same with them. I think we're probably looking at the playoffs at best. I can't believe we'd go any further than that, if I'm honest. I was thinking about it last night, actually, and when you look at last season's squad and you look at this season's squad, obviously 14 new players have come in and there's still a few there. But which squad would you rather have? And I would rather have this squad that we've got now. The one sort of disappointment in amongst that is we are short at centre-back. And if Jack Watmore had stayed, I think we'd have a decent squad. And we need a quick, powerful striker up front to go with John Marquis, or to play instead of John. Obviously, Ellis didn't get his move down to Plymouth for one reason or another, but... if you look at Jack Watmore, if Jack had stayed and we had brought in another striker, I think we've got a really good strong squad. So I think January's key for us. I think there'd be one or two more signings in January.
And this isn't even really being negative, Tom, is it? It's just being a little bit realistic. Do you think expectations of imminent promotion under the Cowley brothers in their first full season in charge is probably a little bit too high? Or do you think that after so many years in League One, it's promotion or nothing this season?
Should have been promotion or nothing for the past two seasons, to be honest. Mm. So I think we've kind of got to a point now where we just kind of need to accept what we've got. I think, yeah, expectations to go up this season. I mean, you know, anything's possible. I think we've got, you know, as Dean said, we've got a squad good enough to get to the playoffs, 100%. But beyond that, I'm not sure. It would take another two to three additions in January, in my opinion. We certainly need a quality striker up front. I don't think we've got enough firepower in that sense. But, you know, it's a squad that I think will give it a good go. And I think, you know, the Cowleys know this season may be a bit of a push and it probably is a two-year project.
And Dean, we were having a little chat off air a few moments ago about, you know, the possibility that the likes of Ronan Curtis and Marcus Harness could have left Fratton Park in the summer, and really talking about football finances this season in particular after the year that all the clubs have had with COVID and the pandemic and affecting ticket sales, merchandise sales. A lot of clubs are a little bit reluctant to splash the cash, perhaps as they used to be able to, especially in the lower divisions. And I know we were talking about Ronan Curtis and his price tag, and we compared that to Jamal Lowe, who was sold to Bournemouth for £1.5 million. I know Swansea have got their own problems. They probably were just happy to get any money for Jamal Lowe. But if you look at the market for a Jamal Lowe of £1.5 million, how much would you get realistically for the likes of Marcus Harness, Ronan Curtis? This is your point you were making to me. Yes, we could have offloaded those players and had a little bit more to spend on others, but who do you get in for that kind of money?
Yeah, I think if you look a couple of seasons ago, Ronan Curtis would have been around the 2 million mark. He was decent. He is inconsistent in my view. He's had not the greatest of starts this season. I think if you look, Jamal Lowe went to Bournemouth. I thought that was very cheap, to be honest. Swansea have obviously got one or two issues and they need some money, but 1.5 million for Jamal Lowe was really cheap. If you base Ronan Curtis on that, and I'm going to be totally honest, I think Ronan Curtis is probably around the £500,000 mark. And do you cash in or do you keep him? And if you do cash him in for £500,000, who can you bring in? Nobody, really. You can probably get a decent Premiership young striker in on loan and it sort of finances wages, but you can't buy anyone for £500,000 these days, not in those sort of forward-thinking positions. So we were better off keeping him until January at least and see what he can do and go from there.
Yeah, and we've got a message in from Paul O'Neill on Facebook. Give the fringe players a run out and maybe start Romeo and Aziz tomorrow. Seen some of Aziz's highlights reel. He looks class and could really tear it up in League One. Still think we missed a trick not getting another striker in, but still positive moving forward. Looking forward to going in to the new plough lane, but MK must be the real focus. Play at Pompey, says Paul O'Neill on Facebook there. And just to touch upon that comment about starting Marlon Romeo, Miguel Aziz tomorrow night. Miguel Aziz has, of course, been called up to be England under 20 squad. They're due to play this evening, I believe. So I doubt Miguel Aziz will be up for playing again in the trophy tomorrow night. It would have been great to see, and it would have been a great match to integrate him into, but unfortunately he won't be available for the Blues. Marlon Romeo, of course, will be. Maybe he could make his league debut tomorrow night. Tom, we heard from Marlon Romeo a few moments ago, the deadline day signing from last week. Is tomorrow night a game you'd like to see him start? Because if we're being completely honest, Kieran Freeman, it's going to take some doing to shift him out of that league squad.
Yeah, if we're gonna, I would like to see him play, and I think he probably would need it. He'd need a few minutes in his legs, get used to, you know, the way that the Cowley's wanting to get him embedded in the squad a little bit, you know, even though it's a few days before Saturday. But I wouldn't play in the full game. I'd give him 45, maybe give him the first half, take him off or bring him on, you know, last 20 of the second half. You know, I don't really care, to be honest, but I think he should, certainly get some minutes, that's for sure.
Keep getting those text tweets and emails into us, Pompey fans, all the usual ways. 81400 on the text, starting your messages with the word Express. Pompey at expressfm.com is our email address. It's at expressfm on Twitter, or you can find us over at facebook.com/Pompey Live. On the emails, Alan Swift. Hi, Jake, Dean and Tom. If Danny Cowley had any coaching sense, he'd use tomorrow's pointless game to try new tactics using two up front. The 4-2-3-1 with the current front three has failed for the last how many years? It does not suit John Marquis up front alone. Us fans can see that, so why not the management? 4 goals in 5 games demonstrates a change is 100% necessary. Tough matches coming up, so we need a lot more up top. Just being realistic, says Alan on Southsea. Dean, furiously nodding your head. I can really tell you agree with that.
Yeah, I think when people talk about tactics and that, people like Harry Redknapp always say it's not about the tactics, it's about what players you've got. And 4-2-3-1 is sort of known as probably the best formation in football. We've played it with Kenny, we've played it with Danny. It's not working as going. We don't let many goals in, we all know that, but it's not working going forward. And for the last two or three years going forward, we've had Harness, Curtis, Marquis. It's the same players. It's not changed and it's not going to change.
We speak about the team selection tomorrow night, Tom, and we could expect a few more academy phases in the squad as well. A very weak lineup could be on the cards. But, you know, in terms of Alan's email, in terms of Dean's point there, Would you also like to see the likes of John Marquis played tomorrow night? You know, a few of the regular faces, if you may, who are starting in those forward positions to try out a new formation, some different tactics.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to see George Hurst given a start. He's only made a few cameos from the bench, isn't he? I think this would be the type of game where he would probably show what he's all about, or at least have the best opportunity to do so. But yeah, I think, you know, if Cowley's going to put in six or seven youngsters, try and get as many fringe players in there as well. You know, people like Louis Thompson and that. Just get them on, because they need the minutes, because we're getting into a sort of a, you know, I always feel like after the international break and after the transfer window's closed, you know, business starts to get, you know, in the season starts to get quite serious. So if they're going to get minutes season again, they're going to need to get them in.
Yeah, and I've just been informed by PW on Twitter, who says that Miguel Aziz played this afternoon for the England under-20s, May 1, 6-1 versus Romania. That scoreline coming in not too long ago. So thank you to PW66 on Twitter. Miguel Aziz featuring for the England under-20s. They beat Romania by 6-1. And looking ahead to tomorrow, Dean, we speak about how this isn't a game many people are looking forward to, but in terms of a starting 11, we'll start with the goalkeeping position. Gavin Bazunu, he's on international duty with Republic of Ireland. Really only leaves Alex Bass.
Yeah, and a good goalkeeper. I think Alex will be a good goalkeeper for us. He's been unlucky, really, to lose his place so early on. I think Gavin's come in. Gavin's been excellent as well. So looking at that, as we looked at the right-backs just now, looking at the goalkeeper situation, we've got two strong goalkeepers as well. So we are strong over the park, and even if you look at the forward lines, we've got Marquis. Harrison's not a bad player at the end of the day. We've got George Hurst, who we've not really seen a lot of. I've seen him play for Leicester under-23s a few times, and he's been decent, but he's very much like Marquis. He's a workhorse. I saw him play two or three games for Leicester under-23s, and to be honest, he never looked like scoring, but he was a workhorse, so I don't know, we're back in the same sort of situation where we're at with the 4-2-3-1 and struggling a little bit going forward.
Yeah, and of the academy names that we know of and we've heard over the last couple of seasons, Tom, you know, Harry Jewett-White being one of those names, of course, featuring for Pompey in last season's run. But who would you like to see? Who do you pick out that you'd like to see given their opportunity tomorrow night? Because we know from down the years, this is a competition, though not too many fans are actually fond of, but it's a chance for these players to make their breakthrough into the first team.
Yeah, definitely. I'm struggling to think off the top of my head now, because we've released so many in the summer.
Have we got any left?
But either way, absolutely. I think the Cowleys are very fond of youth, aren't they? And they're trying to embed this into the squad, you know, these younger players. You know, it's even been shown by the people, the players they're signing, you know, they're going for youngsters. And I think they, you know, that's very much in their sort of mentality at the same time. It's a perfect competition for these youngsters to come in. I mean, like I said, I'm struggling to think off the top of my head now. But yeah, absolutely, why not? Chuck them in. And even when you get a few experienced heads in there as well, you need that blend. And I just think the Cowleys will go for it 100%. Mm.
Do the Cowleys go for it? How much do they go for it tomorrow? Because they are winners, Dean. They're not managers who like to go out of any game and go out to, you know, try and lose.
Yeah, whether it's a friendly, whether it's a cup game, league game, you want to win all your games of football, don't you, at the end of the day? And you still look at our team sheet, you've still got Alex Bass coming in, you've probably got Marlon coming in at right back. If Downing's fit, Downing will come in. You've got, is it Ogilvy on the left? Jewett-White will probably start. Who starts with him? Joe Morrell started for Wales yesterday, so he's obviously not involved. I can't believe Williams would play tomorrow, so you're probably looking at Tunnicliffe. So Tunnicliffe's played a few games, but there's no other options in the middle, really, for someone to come in. And going forward, I think George Hurst would get his start tomorrow. So on paper, it's not a bad squad, not a bad team tomorrow. So, we've got to go out and win these games. Yeah. Whether we want to win this or not, he's going to go out to win it.
Yeah. No goal for Pompey for 267 minutes of football. Something we touched upon earlier in the show, Tom. Yes, tomorrow, trophy match. Are we likely to see John Marquis feature? Is this a chance for him to get in and amongst the goals again? Or is this a chance to try someone new, like you said, George Hurst? Maybe even Ghassan Ahadmi?
I don't know. I don't know if he'll play. It depends if Cowley wants to use him as the main man on Saturday. And if he does, you know, he could, just to get him, hopefully, with a goal firing again, because he's not really had much luck so far this season. I, I, do you know what? I can't tell whether he's going to play or not. It really depends on the plans for the weekend. But like I said, you know, I'd love to see someone like George Hirsch just be given the chance. Mm. You know, we've seen enough of Marcus already. I think someone else needs to be given the shot at the team. And why not, you know? But like I said, it's hard to say whether he's going to play or not, John Marcus.
Oh, I hate these trophy games, Dean. It's so hard to pick out a starting 11 because you've got so many of these factors, like Tom mentioned there, resting for Saturday, players away on international duty, youngsters but could be called up. We just literally have no idea.
I don't even think Marcus will be in the squad tomorrow, if I'm personally honest. And I think he'd probably play two up front. I think Harrison will start tomorrow. And I think with his knockdowns, and I think Hurst will play off him. So those are the two forwards that will be involved tomorrow. I doubt we'd even see Marcus on the bench. I'd be surprised if he was involved tomorrow.
Carry on getting those text, tweets and emails into the show with us Pompey fans. All the usual ways can be found on our website, expressfm.com, if you don't know them by now. You're listening to the Football Hour here on Express FM. Stick around for the conclusion of tonight's show, coming up next.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back for the final time tonight to the Football Hour here on Express FM. Still to come, myself, Tom and Dean will continue to attempt to predict tomorrow's lineup. We'll have a chat about the opposition and a quick preview of Saturday's league trip to Stadium MK. But first, let's take a closer look at tomorrow night's opponents. It's the first of three meetings with the Dons between now and mid-December. Here's Mason Jordan with a closer look at the challenge that lies ahead.
Pompey are back in action this week for the first time since their 1-0 defeat at Wigan on August 28th. The challenge this time around comes in the EFL Trophy and in the form of AFC Wimbledon.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Last season, the Blues were knocked out by Peterborough in the round of 16 of this competition, although their most recent trophy fixture came on March 30. League 2 Salford City claimed victory at Wembley in the rearranged 2020 final, which turns out to be Kenny Jackett's final act as Pompey boss. Sutton United and the Crystal Palace under-21s are also in Pompey's group this year, but up first is the Dons, and here's a closer look at the challenge that lies ahead.
Manager
Mark Robinson is now in charge of Wimbledon. The 56-year-old has been at the club since its reformation in 2004 and has sat in the dugout only since January of this year, overseeing 28 matches to date. Of those 28 games in charge, Robinson has managed 10 victories and just 7 defeats. Not bad for a side annually tipped to be battling relegation in the third tier.
One to watch.
The spotlight this week is to be shone on 23-year-old Ethan Chislett, the South African-born attacking midfielder signed for the Dons last August, having put himself on the radar of multiple Football League clubs for his performances at Aldershot in the National League. Chislett scored 6 goals in 38 games in all competitions throughout the 19-20 season, which ended up being curtailed because of the pandemic. He made his debut for Wimbledon last September in a trophy tie against Charlton Athletic, which ended in a 2-1 victory for the Dons. He then scored his first goal in a 2-2 league draw with Northampton Town later that same month.
Top scorer.
Academy graduate Jack Rudoni is currently the club's leading scorer this season with 3 league strikes in 5 appearances thus far. The 20-year-old was part of the Dons youth setup for 8 years before turning pro in 2019. Since then, he's made over 50 appearances, scoring 4 goals in that time. Rudoni was released by Crystal Palace at the age of 11 before finding his feet at Wimbledon, though he had to spend time on loan at Corinthian Casuals and Tonbridge Angels before breaking into the first team last year. He scored his first goal for the club in an EFL Trophy tie with Bristol Rovers in January of this year.
Current form.
Mark Robinson's Dons are going pretty well in League One so far this season. His side currently 9th in the table, having picked up 9 points from their opening 6 league fixtures. They have lost just 1 game since the start of their campaign, that a narrow 1-0 defeat away to Sunderland at the Stadium of Light on August 21st, which was only lost by a wicked deflection. An opening day victory over Doncaster was followed by back-to-back stalemates at home to both Bolton and Gillingham respectively. Wimbledon are unbeaten in their last 3 in all competitions, inflicting a 1-1 defeat to Northampton in the second round of the Carabao Cup before holding Ipswich to a 2-2 draw at Portman Road and beating Oxford 3-1 at Plough Lane on Saturday. The win on home turf at the weekend was the Dons' first ever in front of an unrestricted crowd at Plough Lane. Can Pompey start their EFL Trophy campaign with a win, or will Wimbledon one ball on to secure all 3 points? All the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
AFC Wimbledon under the microscope there with Mason Jordan. And just a reminder of the rules, you know, regarding points tomorrow. Of course, it is a group stage fixture in the EFL Trophy. A win in 90 minutes, of course, gives the winning team 3 points and the losing team zero. A draw would give each team a point as normal, but the winning team will get an extra point if they are victorious on a penalty shootout, so they will therefore take two. So there you go. We can either claim 3, 2, 1, or 0 points tomorrow night at Plough Lane. The rules haven't changed, of course, since they were changed 5 or 6 seasons ago. So there you go. A closer look at AFC Wimbledon, a team who haven't had really a bad start to their League One season, Dean.
No, new stadium as well. Nice little stadium. Good little side. They've got some decent players. Ethan Chislett, when he was at Aldershot, went and scouted him 2 or 3 times for a League One football manager. And he's a great number 10. He's probably a number 10 that we probably need, to be honest. But he chips in with a few goals and he's gotten a good sort of assist ratio. He's a decent player. So, yeah, there'll be a decent side in the league this season.
Yeah. And looking at their stats this season so far, Tom, 6 of Wimbledon's starting 11 on Saturday in their 3-1 win against Oxford United were aged 21 or under. A team who like to, you know, integrate and implement youth into their first team, and they're certainly succeeding from that. Aside many tipped to be battling relegation this season, like we say, we've had a great start to this League One campaign, and they're doing it with youngsters too.
Absolutely. I think they're, you know, very much similar to us. A lot of youth will try and be embedded in the squad, but, you know, Wimbledon, they're constantly fighting relegation battles season after season. But, you know, as Dean said, the new stadium, you know, it's always reason for optimism. And, you know, I think the good times are back for them, aren't they? But, you know, I think they'll always be a team that will give it a good go. I think we'll always be a team that will be able to beat them. But, you know, you just never depend. And they have had a great start to the season. And a win against Oxford on Saturday was certainly impressive.
And taking a look at the interview that Danny Carley had with the Portsmouth News earlier today, previewing tomorrow's match, Dean, he's told them that he's likely to pluck 6 or 7 academy players into his team for tomorrow's visit to Wimbledon. And he could also call upon Haji Minoga. He's available to play tomorrow despite being sent out to Bromley. That's something we're naturally quite used to nowadays. We've seen players go out on loan to non-league sides but still come back and play in this competition.
Yeah, I think he said at the start of the season that any of his young players that went on out on loan, he wanted them to go out on loan locally. So Bromley's, what's that? That's East London, Kent. So he's gone out on loan there, but he can still train with Portsmouth day in, day out, and he can still play in these cup games. So I believe he played 75 minutes before he was taken off on Saturday. Did fairly well. So yeah, it's a player I forgot about earlier, so he could be in contention. Could he play centre back tomorrow? Marlon will probably play right back, or would Marlon play centre back? I don't know. There's options there though.
Yeah, certainly options there. And you know, we were speaking earlier about the team selection, Tom. Is Haji Minoga a player who comes straight into that starting 11, another good opportunity for him to get minutes under his belt?
Definitely. I mean, if I'd have known this earlier, I would have said him to be thrown straight to the starting 11. I completely forgot that he's available for selection. So yeah, 100%. That boy needs to play as much as he can, in my opinion. And if he can play with us whilst he's still with Bromley, even better. Like Dean said, whether we'll play centre back or whether Romeo will play centre back, don't know. But the option is there. But I throw him straight in, 100%.
Yeah. Paul Mockers on Twitter. Big shout out to the legend that is Chris Ebbins, back home after a few weeks in hospital. I don't think Ebbo's missed us scoring any League One goals whilst in hospital. But yeah, really echoing those thoughts, Chris Ebbins from Mockers on Twitter. Great to hear that you're back home after your stint in hospital. Mockers then sending a separate tweet. For never was a story of more woe than of Jacket and his Romeo, in brackets, Brett. Where is that block button? I think I found it.
Yeah.
moving on. And, you know, we'll carry on talking about Wimbledon. we speak about actually their squad on Saturday, Dean, about how six of their starting 11 were aged 21 or under. All three of their goals were scored by academy graduates.
Yeah, it's amazing. Trouble is, they're in that catchment area in London where clubs like Arsenal, Tottenham, West Ham, when they release certain players at 17, 18, 19, it's often clubs like the Wimbledons that snap up these players, and they're quick, athletic players, and they've got some decent players. They do seem to always be fighting down the wrong end of the table, but it's great to see Wimbledon back. It's great to see them back in their sort of their new home, their old home as such. And it's just good to see them back in League One and back as a club more than anything.
Yeah, and Saturday's victory, Tom, was their first win since the opening day. But if you look into their other games, they had a late goal in one of their defeats. It was a horrible deflection away to Sunderland. A couple of draws in between against good sides too. Whilst, you know, they're not pulling up trees, they're not at the top end of the table, they're also not fighting at the wrong end at these early stages, and they are a difficult side to beat.
Yeah, like I said, you know, they're always going to give it a good go. I don't think we ever comfortably beat Wimbledon, you know, once every blue moon, you know, perhaps. But, you know, they have got a few good results. A narrow defeat away to Sunderland. I think they were 2-0 down away at Ipswich the other weekend and came back to get a point there. And, you know, everyone seems to be doing that against Ipswich at the moment. But nonetheless, you know, they've got players, they've got the team spirit, I think. And that's the thing about Wimbledon. I think they've got a great team spirit and ethos within the club. You know, and I think they'll be tough, definitely.
A little dig at Ipswich there, Dean. Yeah, but you know, it's not the first one this season, I won't lie. But look, that goes to show that money isn't everything in football.
No, I said in the first show with you at the start of the season that any team that finishes above Ipswich would be in the Championship next year, and well, I think it's going to be about 20
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They'll still be out there.
No doubt about that. Looking a little bit further afield to Saturday then, because we've somehow gone 53 minutes looking into a game that no one's actually cared about, Dean. Saturday, MK Dons away. We highlight about how that is really the important match for Pompey this week coming up. A league game, you know, back to the starting 11 you could probably predict on your hand right now. How do Pompey go about getting rid of that unwanted record, 267 league minutes without a goal? We speak about how maybe experimenting tomorrow night with John Marquis, but if he doesn't play tomorrow night against Wimbledon, does he come straight into your starting 11 at MK?
Yeah, I don't think he'd be involved tomorrow, as I said earlier. I think he will start on Saturday. I think Danny Cowley's made noises about George Hurst this week, and I think that will happen at some stage. But I think he will start Marquis on Saturday. I know, I think the last game he went with a bit of a, was it a 4-3-3? I think Morrell, Williams and Tunnicliffe all played in the middle. I think we might still go that way. MK Dons, good stadium, good pitch, decent team. It's a game we can win, but we've got to be wary of them because they're going to be a good side this season. They've got some decent players, and they've got a player up front. Is it Isa? Strong, athletic, powerful player that I would love to have had at Pompey, and he's scored 3 goals in 4 games, I think it is, this season. So, yeah, it's going to be tough Saturday, but it's winnable. It's there for the taking.
Mo Isa, Scott Twine, Troy Parrott, 3 names. And there are certainly more out there, Tom, at Stadium MK for Pompey to worry about at the weekend. Milton Keynes, not actually a bad team this season. You know, they've been fighting at the wrong end of the table for a couple of seasons now. They had their stint in the Championship. Are they your dark horse for not necessarily promotion this season, but certainly being, you know, in and amongst the race for it?
Yeah, I'm really not liking them this season. They're sort of giving me a bit of a nervous vibe, and I think certainly, as you said, when they sort of announced the signings of Isa and Scott Twine, it's looking good for them. I remember when they came to Fratton Park a couple of seasons ago, and you know, albeit this was under Russell Martin, but they were playing some really good football, and they definitely look like they're improving season on season, as much as, you know, everyone doesn't really like to see it. But yeah, I think they're going to be up there. I think they'll make a good push for the playoffs. I think they've scored quite a few goals this season already. I'm not too optimistic that it's going to be plain sailing on Saturday.
No. And just really quickly, Dean, out of the 5 league matches Pompey have got in September, Milton Keynes away on Saturday, Cambridge at home the following week, Plymouth Argyle, that rescheduled game which was supposed to be tonight, Tuesday the 21st of September, Charlton Athletic away, Burton away. Very quickly, 15 points available. How many A do you predict Pompey will get, and how many B would you see as reasonable?
You got to look at 10 points minimum out of that 15, I think. 3 wins and a draw. We can win both the Plymouth and Cambridge games at home. We need to win one away and get a draw away.
OK, then, and let's get to some of these score predictions for tomorrow night's game, a match no one's bothered about. Tom, Pompey away to Wimbledon. Really looking forward to it. What are you going for?
Depending on the lineup, I'll go for a 1-1 draw and get the extra point on penalties.
1-1 draw and get the extra point on penalties. Thank you to Tom Malley there. And just actually quickly going back to last week, there was a game in the EFL Trophy in Pompey's group. Sutton United defeated Crystal Palace under-21s by 3-0. So they currently top Pompey's EFL Trophy group. Dean, your score prediction?
I'm going to go 5-4 on penalties.
Oh, OK, on penalties. I thought you were going to say 5-4 in 90 minutes.
5-4 on penalties.
That would certainly make it interesting.
1-0, 5-4 on penalties.
Lovely stuff. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Pompey win in 90 minutes. I reckon we're going to do it in the 90. Don't want to stay too much longer. Tuesday night, want to get home. Tom Malley, thank you very much for chatting to us tonight. Have a great week, and I'm sure we'll hear from you again very, very soon, my friend.
Thank you, as always, mate. Pleasure.
And thank you in the studio for the first time since March the 13th, 2020. Dean Adams, you've been great. Thank you for coming in and chatting to us.
Pleasure. Good to see you.
So, Pompey fans, this is it. The game everyone has been waiting for since the fixture list came out. Pompey away to AFC Wimbledon in the first group stage game of this season's EFL Trophy. We all want to win it, of course we do. No, we don't. We don't really. However, you can catch all of the action from Plough Lane. Myself, Liam Howes and Ryan Stillwell will be live here on Express FM from 7pm. Kickoff, 7:45 with Andy and Guy.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Pompey fell to the feet of Wigan on Bank Holiday weekend as they lost by 1-0.
A real chance at the far post for Lang. He scored!
Up next, a match under the floodlights at Plough Lane. Pompey face AFC Wimbledon in the EFL Trophy. Join us for all the unmissable action tomorrow evening from 7.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
There you are then. Express FM is the place to be to hear all of the action as Pompey travel to AFC Wimbledon in the opening group stage game of this season's EFL Trophy. Kickoff at Plough Lane, like I say, 7:45. Myself, Liam and Ryan will be on hand with all of the pre-match build-up, half-time analysis and post-match reaction. Coming up here on Express FM from 7 o'clock right after the news, the Soft Rock Show with Jeff and Adrian. They've got tunes by Fargo Railroad Company, Doctors of Madness and Hannah Grace as well. 9 o'clock sees the return of That 80s Show with Kevin Stokes. And then from 11 through till 2am tomorrow morning, the Express Wind Down. Nothing but the most relaxing songs all night long. Tomorrow morning, you'll be woken up by the dulcet tones of Nicola Lashley from 6:30am. Nothing but great songs, the latest on the roads, news, sport, travel. You've got the lot on your way to work tomorrow from 6:30 up until 10am, where we've got Liam Howes between 10 and 1 playing great songs all day long. Mason Jordan sits in from Ian between 1 and 4. He's finding Pompey's musical geniuses with Lyric Line, The Victory Years from 2pm, and of course great songs from the 70s, 80s, 90s. James Percy is here between 4 and 7 with your drive home. And then of course, like I say, it's the return of Pompey Live from Plough Lane. Pompey away to AFC Wimbledon in the Trophy. Until then, Blues fans, have a great evening. We'll see you tomorrow at Plough Lane. Take care and stay safe.